In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. John's today. It is so lovely to see you all. And we here wish each and every one of you and those whom you love a very Merry Christmas and God's blessing on you for the new year. Now, I suspect that many of us have a mix of feelings as we enter this special day of light and hope in the Christian calendar. Our hearts are still reverberating from the Bondi tragedy and the slaughter of so many innocent Jewish lives. As a Jewish friend of mine said, and a psychologist also she is, she said when I contacted her after the shooting, "I do feel incredibly sad. Bondi and the surrounding areas hold a lot of memories for me. Events in the Jewish community, I took part in there, sports carnivals, people I know." And she went on to say, apart from the personal elements, it is horrific. But, she said, "I feel that about any mass shooting. So senseless. And we know the effects can last for a very long time." So in the midst of this, can we still hold on to light and hope? Can we, like Mary, treasure the words of hope and joy that the angel spoke of on that momentous day more than 2,000 years ago? The late chief rabbi of London, Jonathan Sacks, wrote a book called Celebrating Life after the painful loss of his father. And one of the chapters in that is called Sifting Hope from Ashes. The BBC had asked him to go to Auschwitz, and it was his very first visit there, just before Jewish New Year, and the idea the BBC had that he would then give a Jewish message to the British nation. Rabbi Sacks agreed, but on one condition, that he had to tell the story the Jewish way. He said, "Ancient Jewish teaching from the time of the Exodus from Egypt specifies that one begins with the bad news and ends with the good. A Jewish story," he said, "must always end on a note of hope. No exceptions," he said. Now, his experience at Auschwitz that day he went was worse than he had even expected. But in the midst of his distress, a question focused itself. What is it in the survivor that gives life the victory over the angel of death? And he came up with an answer that he shared, that in the survivors, he identified there is a difference between optimism and hope. Optimism, he said, is the belief that things are going to get better, and it's a passive quality. Hope is the belief that we can make things better. Hope is active, and to hope, he said, we need courage. He also said, when Jews speak of life, they always do so amidst memories of death. That is why, for me, faith is no simple, naive, optimistic affirmation. It needs, he said, enormous strength, emotional and intellectual, to have faith in the human story. So today, as Christians, can we have faith in the human story? Well, yes. If we too can find our strength in the spiritual journey to which we are called by God. As Rabbi Sacks said, the religious journey always engenders hope. Why? Because like all the journeys we undertake, and all those undertaken in the scriptures, many arduous and long, we are never alone. Hope survives, even in tough and confusing times, and that is why we need it now. A Greek Orthodox friend made a comment to me this week that spoke of the hope that God always imparts. She said, and I quote, God sent a Muslim man to confront the shooters at Bondi. That was God. It needed to be a Muslim man to show us that this horrific event was not about religion, but about hate. So is there a journey of hope in the Christian story today? Yes, indeed, and more than one. First, we have Joseph and Mary fulfilling a journey to Bethlehem required of them by law, in spite of Mary's late pregnancy. You see, it is so appropriate for God's plan that Joseph, who is a descendant of King David, is there in Bethlehem, the city of David, when Jesus is born. And then we have the angels and the heavenly host. Where have they journeyed from? They've journeyed from God to the shepherds to give the wonderful news of Christ's birth. Now, I was wondering if the angels and the heavenly host thought, my goodness, what is God doing? What a poor, lowly group these men are. Why has God sent us here? They have no status. They're bottom of the social scale. But even though they were questioning, they went anyway. Now, what about the shepherds? Well, what a journey they made. There they were, caring for the fairly silly sheep. Sheep are fairly silly, I think, who need constant attention. Probably the shepherds were feeling fairly bleary-eyed. And then suddenly it happened. Out of nowhere, a rush of dazzling brightness. Terrifying at first. But then a voice of calm assurance. And beautiful music, like we have today. Fear and wonder, I imagine, in the eyes of the shepherds. But nothing would ever be the same again for these very ordinary men. Well, they absolutely had to find the child, didn't they? So off they journey, in haste, we are told, to the stable, and a small, small child who was called the Messiah, the Lord. And what do they do there? they gaze in wonder at what God has accomplished. There is another journey, and this is the journey that God has made. You see, it is God at the centre of the Christmas story. God's life spilling over from eternity into our time space. God's life communicating itself so completely that it makes human life unrecognisably different from that point. So, at this particular moment in time, over 2,000 years ago, God entered into humanity in a new way through a human life like ours. Here is a real, vulnerable human life in Mary's arms. We know what it's like when we look at a tiny baby in someone's arms. They do look so vulnerable, don't they? And the Jesus we meet in the Gospels, first as an infant, is not going to be a superman. He is going to weep. He is going to feel tempted. He was going to find his will wobbling like ours do sometimes. And then, after 30 quiet, ordinary years with his parents in Nazareth, Jesus will be exposed to pain and death and seeming failure. But that, somehow, mysteriously, is what will make the difference to all of humanity, including us, right here, now, today. So yes, this child was born for the likes of the shepherds, the poor, the lowly, the rejected, but he also came for the rich and the wise, who will later come, when we celebrate it in Epiphany, with gold, frankincense and myrrh. So that is, he was actually born for all of us. And God actually delights to dwell with us, to be human and vulnerable alongside us. We can treasure this thought of God's delight in our heart, just as Mary treasures all that she hears. So, God's journey is a true journey of love. But wait, some may rightly say, well, where was this God of love at Bondi? Why did he not intervene and prevent that slaughter? And that is a reasonable question to ask. I think that perhaps we can only say with Nick Cave, the Australian singer and songwriter, who wrote the song Into Your Arms, after his difficult journey through rehab, and as he was moving from agnosticism, even atheism, through to faith in God. I don't believe in an interventionist God, but I do believe in love. You see, God is not omnipotent in the sense of being independent of the world and untouched by it. He does not coerce the world or humans to do his will. He just works in accordance with his nature, which is love. God, vulnerable, open to his world and affected by it, fully identified with us, because love knows no other way. God rejoices with us and suffers with us. And if the world is to be made in God's likeness, if at the end of the day all that is good and true and beautiful is to triumph, then it can only be by the way of costly love. And of course, for us, the cross has become the most potent and universal symbol of that. It is as if God is saying, this is how I have to work. So, at Christmas, what are we celebrating? We are celebrating what we are discovering about an extraordinary God who identifies fully with us so deeply and powerfully that all we can say is, when we see Jesus, we see God. A totally new thing has happened. That is why all of us are here today. Even if we don't often come to church, it does not matter. There is something that draws us that is love. So at the close of an extraordinarily difficult week and year in the world and in many of our lives, we do have an extraordinary event to celebrate, and that is Emmanuel, God with us. And so, what are we called to do? Well, can be a bit of a challenge. But we are called to start or to continue our spiritual journeying. Like Joseph and Mary, like the angels, like the shepherds, we are to journey to discover God, journey to gaze in wonder, journey to fulfill what has been required of us. And always, always, it is a journey of hope, because God is continuously not only journeying towards us, but also with us. Amen.